doing so good. Must be excited about Mother's Day. That's good stuff. Hey, just a quick thing I want to tell you that doesn't have anything to do with anything except I want you to know it. I know that we've been talking about the eBay store that we're about to be doing. Basically what that is, if you're coming in on the front end of that and you haven't heard anything about that, we have got to raise quite a bit of money, a lot of money, to renovate the building, for us to move into it. We are expecting any day for us to be stamped by the state fire marshal to be able to move forward with that. That is a beautiful thing. We've even had contact with him this week. It's been good contact. It's just a little bit of a waiting game. Probably this week we'll be finding out something, and it should be nothing but good. And so we're excited about that. But to move forward, we've got to raise a lot of money. eBay store is one of the ways we're going to do that. If you're like a lot of us and things are tight, but you have a lot of junk, then maybe you got some junk that you're going, hey, my junk's worth a little bit of money. Here, let's give that. Let's give that to the Lord and see what He can do with it. And so several of us have already kind of put something in and planning on having an eBay store up online here in just a few weeks, here in a couple of weeks. Just know I meant to have us a sheet out today that you'd be able to fill out stuff for. By next weekend, you will have a sheet out on the welcome table that will be something that you can pick up and fill out all the information of the item that you're giving toward the eBay store. And hopefully by tomorrow night, it'll actually be online so you can download it, print it off, fill it out, and you can bring it next week if you don't want to wait until next week to get it. That would be wonderful. And it'll have instructions on it and all that, of how that's going down. I've had a lot of questions about that, so just want to do that. I want to do something here for just a second, if y'all are cool with it. I want to ask all of our moms to stand up that we've got in the place to be tonight, today, this morning. All the moms. What up for the moms? Don't sit down. Stay standing. You know, I want to read this passage of Scripture, because this passage of Scripture just, to me, it just resonates. Mom, when I read this passage of Scripture, it's a great thing. Just check this out. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and Paul is talking about love. And this is so much mom. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And you and I both know that a great mom are all of those things. And so we wouldn't be here without moms today, right? I want to just have a second just to pray for our moms and kind of open us up this morning, okay? Let me just pray for us right now. God, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the mothers that you have placed in our lives, for the godly women that have helped raise us in understanding who you are, to lead us to you, to show us your love. God, it is the greatest love that we can see on this planet, is your love, and we see that love in our moms so many times. God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to take a day and to recognize them and to thank you for them and for what they mean to us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you. Another hand for the moms. Oh, yeah. What's up with the moms? Hey, you got a cell phone with you? Get your cell phone out. Cell phone's out. We're going to do a little something here. We've got somebody at the light board ready to go. Once you get, I want to see everybody wave the cell phones. This is the new lighter, by the way. If you're going to a concert, this is, used to it was the Bic, now it's the cell phone. It's the Motorola or the whatever, the Palm Pilot thing, whatever you got. That's what we're rolling with. Hello? You're not answering. That's a good trick, though. And I didn't turn mine off. No, once again, turn them back down. I didn't see everybody's cell phones. Like this. Don't tell me that this whole bunch over here, like, we're missing cell phones like crazy. Where are the other cell phones? And it's like there's darkness. Stop. There's darkness in the backs over here. Where's all the cell phones? Okay, raise them up high, raise them up high. Anybody else got one? There's one right there. Testify now. Come on, we got another cell phone in the house. Oh, there goes one. There it goes. It's going higher. They're kind of afraid. There it goes. All right. All right, now you can close them. Thank you so much for doing that. That was just for me and for no other reason. I just wanted to see that. No, seriously, I want you to think for just a second about these things because I'm now going to turn mine off so Jordan doesn't call me anymore. But seriously, these things, I mean, what do they represent to us? What does this represent to us? It represents to us, if your cell phone is like my cell phone, it's not just a phone to call when I need something. It's also representing relationships in my life. I can look through my phone, and I'll spare you the details, but let's just go 1, 2, 3. I don't have time to tell you. I've got like 500 and something contacts in this phone. It's ridiculous. This is like a lifeline to me. And when I see my phone, sometimes I don't want to see my phone, but when I see my phone, I think about the people that are represented in here. And as I go through the contacts in this phone, I am seeing relationships that I have with people. And I'm just scrolling through here. There's all kinds of names in here. And as I'm just reading through these names, I'm seeing people I've gone to school with, people that are part of our church, people that are just old friends, family members. There's a pastor friend of mine. That guy sells me arcade games. There's just a lot of random people in here. And they all represent relationships that I have in my life. And we all have relationships in our life. Last week, we started this series called This. And this is whatever you work toward. This is whatever you will sacrifice for. You've got something out there that you're sacrificing time for. You're sacrificing money for. You may be sacrificing relationships for it. Whatever it is, that is this. And for us today, last week we talked about possessions being the this, how we strive so hard. We spend so much of our time and our thought thinking about where I'm going to get, how I'm going to get, what I'm going to get, always thinking of the next this that we're going to get. Well, the truth be known is this is not just possessions. This and this can be good stuff and it can be bad stuff. I just want you to understand that. It's not like it's all, you know, I'm even saying that possessions are bad. That's not true. And Scripture doesn't teach us that. It's that when things come before our relationship with the Lord or come before our relationships with our families and all these other things, that things get out of kilter and out of whack. And for many of us today, the this are relationships. We work and we strive for relationships. Let me just ask you a question. I'm not trying to just bring something up here for you or anything, but when was the last time that you were lonely? When was the last time that you just thought to yourself, you know, I just don't really feel like I have anybody that I can turn to? If we were all really honest in here today, we all have moments of feeling that way from time to time. And it's those things that creep up on us, and Satan uses those things against us from time to time to get us to strive after relationships, sometimes that are unhealthy. Now, on the flip side of this, there are healthy relationships. There's tons of healthy relationships. And we strive after those relationships just the same. As a matter of fact, a real relationship is a lot of work. As I think about all the people that are in my cell phone, I'm thinking about all of the people that I have trouble keeping up with sometimes. God has blessed me with so many friends, and you know, I'm very fortunate in that. And sometimes I just feel bad because I don't get to keep up with everybody that I just truly love as much as I would like to. Relationships take work. So, today, The this is relationships. Well, a great relationship that we see is the relationship between a mother and a child. Is that not a great relationship? I mean, you think about this, you know. This just creeps into like every sentence without even me wanting it to, but it just does that every time. This does that. And part of what we're talking about today and part of what we're thinking about today is the love that a mother has for a child and how that plays out in our world. I want you just to think for a second about a mogul. You know what a mogul is? A mogul is somebody that's got their hands in everything. They're running an industry. You know, for example, many of you may not know who this is. You can explain it to people later if they don't know who it is. Diddy is a mogul, all right? We got Diddy is a mogul. Now, Diddy started off as a rapper, and then Diddy started a clothing company, and then he's got the record label. And so, like, Diddy is considered this mogul. He's considered this person that has control over industries. Donald Trump, a mogul. You know, and so we think about all of these people, and as we're thinking about all these people, and we think about what they get and their life, and what does that look at? And I was just thinking about this, and I was just thinking about, you know what? Moms should be treated like moguls. And maybe today when you go home, if you've got like an old fur coat or something and a cane and a big hat that you can stick a feather in or something, and you can just put that all on your mom and say, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom. You are a mogul. You're running the show around here. You are so great." And so, you know, I think for our world, we've gotten some things backwards. We lift up these people that, you know, we say, oh, they're so important. They've done all these things. And you know what? Sometimes they have done some great things. But sometimes we miss the most important relationships that we have in our lives. And one of those relationships is the relationships that we have with our mother. Now, I know that not everybody in here can say, I have a great relationship with my mother. And I've dealt with that even close in my family and how that works out. Now, God has blessed me with a wonderful mother, and I thank God for her. And she raised me in a great way, despite me being an idiot. And but you know, I think we're so quick to buy into the bling of the world that we miss needing to buy into the bling of what's right there in front of us with our moms. You're saying, Chris, I don't know if I'm completely following you. Here's what I'm saying. Our mothers, good, godly mothers, demonstrate something for us that we see straight from Scripture. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at this passage of Scripture today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I'm hearing my mom in that. I'm hearing a person that is putting somebody else before them nonstop. But I want us to get something today, because this particular passage is not speaking specifically of mothers. This passage of scriptures is speaking specifically to Christians. You see, in fact, if you go into verse 1 and verse 2 of this passage of Scripture, and we kind of skip that today, but you can go back and check it out right there in the very beginning of chapter 2. The very beginning of that is basically saying, if God has ever given you joy in your life, then you should be like this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Isn't that so hard to do? But you see, we see that in mothers. We see them live out a call that God has put on them, not only to take care of children, but many times I see them treat other people this way. It's almost kind of like a natural reaction. But for a lot of us, and I know not all mothers do it all the time, but it's something that we as Christians should understand. It's not something that mothers just do for their children, but it's something that we should do for everyone that we come in contact with. Verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And what does that look like? Verse 6 tells us, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. How much do you love your friends? How much do you love the people you work with? How much do you love the people that you don't like? Because you see, in our world, one of the only true pictures that we see of what God has called us to do when it comes to loving people is between a mother and a child, or maybe a father and a child too. That you would do anything, that you would put that person before you. And that's what we've been called to do. That call is so specific for us. It's so meaningful for us to understand that it's not just something that we do because God wants us to do it, but that it flows naturally because God has loved us enough that we are capable of doing it. You see, in our minds, we're constantly battling and going, I've got too much going on. I'm not feeling it today. I was just kidding with the guys back here a second ago, one of the guys was like, oh, are we ready to go today? Asking me, are you ready to go? I was like, yeah, it's in season, out of season, I don't have a choice. You just do it. And I have bad days, but you know what? You've got to keep doing what God has called you to do, not because I want to try to keep a law, but because God has done so much for me that he has filled me with that joy that you see in verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 2, that it is so important for me to live that out. But the truth is I don't do that on a daily basis. We all fall and fail at doing that, don't we? You see, the love that God had for us, the love that Christ had for us, that this passage of Scripture is talking about, and it's saying that we should live as Christ, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, is what it says exactly. And in that passage of Scripture, we can know that we're supposed to imitate Christ. Well, what does that look like? Well, if you're a Christian, then you are a child of God. Are you catching this? Because as children of God, we should understand the love that God has for us and in turn be able to have that same love towards somebody else. And you're saying, Chris, are you telling me that the people that I hate, that I should love them like I love my children? Yes, I am. And that's hard. That's hard for us to swallow because we've got people in our lives we just plain don't like. Our love should still be the same. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And just before that, it says, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. And I just think about so many of the moms that I see at our church and how they serve their family. Not just their children, but how they help take care of their husbands. They just want to be godly wives. And it's just so amazing to see. And it's in that picture. It's in that picture today that I think that we could see and understand what God has called us to do with everybody that we come in contact with. One of our home teams this week got it. And I think several other of our home teams have gotten it too because I've heard of some of the things that they've been doing. But one of our home teams this week, I'm just going to kind of brag on them for a second, felt like that God was leading them to just do something for our community. to make something happen, to do something. And so they began the process of saying what are needs in our community. Nothing that benefits us, not things that benefit us or, you know, bring glory to 24 Church or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. No, I'm talking about just straight up, want to go out, serve people, do something for them because we love them, and that's it. And they started the process, and they were brainstorming, and they came up with several ideas, and one of them I think they're going to be moving on here in just the next couple of weeks. And it's so amazing to get to see that begin to happen in the life of a little body of believers that's a part of the bigger body of believers that we have here as a church. But that's what we should be about, isn't it? Weren't we always taught as kids to, you know, all just, you know, share and, you know, be kind and be nice and all that stuff, but truth be known, are we really that way? Do we really want to share? Do we really want to be kind? If someone was really in need and they, you know, needed a hot meal or whatever, would we really take out the time to help them do that? Got to work at a church for a long time that was, you know, in a part of town where we were constantly getting folks that were in need. And I'll tell you what, it was kind of a great break in the day for me to have one of those guys come through the door, because instead of just giving them money, I would say, well, I'll take you to get something to eat. And so, well, I need money for the bus pass. Well, where do you need to go? If you're willing to, you know, ride with me, I'll drive you. But I'll tell you what, there's been a bunch of times that I've not wanted to do that. There's been a lot of times in my life when somebody has come and maybe even had a need that I just, you know, being honest here today, I've said to myself, you know, I don't feel like it today. Not up for it today. But that's not the call that we have. The call that we have is to love like God loved us, and He loved us like a father. And we too are called to love people in the same way. Here's a kicker. Giving is what we were designed for. You see, the act of worship is giving glory to God. We've been wired up to give to God, to give glory to God, to constantly be after trying to make Him famous and all of that. And so in the same sense, we too have also been wired up in ways that we should be giving to others all the time. We talked about giving, you know, tithe and all that stuff last week. And that's a big part of this. But I'm just telling you, there's a heart issue going on here. And as we talked about last week, it's a lot of this whole Americana thing that we're all addicted to money. And we're addicted to our time. And sometimes we need to come and to withdraw and do something God is calling us to do by giving to somebody else. Doing something for somebody else. You see, what we've done is instead of building meaningful relationships with each other, we just go out and buy stuff to make ourselves happy. And you see, God designed us to connect with others. And the true happiness comes when we begin to do that, because what happens is we're able to begin to share the great things that God has done in our lives. It's an amazing thing when it really happens. I saw it begin to happen with that home team this past week. So many of us are missing that today. Our happiness is based upon going somewhere and picking things off the shelf, and we've missed relationships. In fact, we've been sacrificing our time and our family for this. And instead of this being that important thing of the relationships that God has put in our lives, this is something else. This is possessions, or it's whatever. And today, God is calling us to love like Christ. To love like a parent. And not sacrifice our love for others. Scripture teaches that it's more exciting to give than receive. And I just got to tell you, that's true. It's an amazing thing that when you come into withdrawal and you begin to really see how exciting it is to give rather than to receive, you begin to see a joy and have a joy in your heart that you've never had doing anything else in your life. Maybe you're sitting here today and maybe you say, Chris, I've given a lot over the years. I've done a lot of giving. Given to a lot of people. I've listened to a lot of people. I've helped a lot of people. Good. Good. Then you don't need to practice. You know exactly what to do. And for some of us that maybe are new at this, maybe you can help us see what that means and how that goes and how that flows. Because in our world, this can be relationships and this can be good. If we're sacrificing to be with our mom, if we're sacrificing to be with our children, if we're sacrificing time at work to make time for our family, this is good. But the moment that we sacrifice this for that, we've lost. And so did the people that have relationships around us. Last part of that passage of Scripture, or the next part of that passage of Scripture that I read just a few minutes ago with the mothers, was a passage of Scripture talked about love. And in that passage of Scripture, that love says, love never fails. And this morning, you may be thinking about the love that's in your life. You may be thinking about the people that are in your life and how you've been disappointed because their love has failed you. They're supposed to come down, it's okay. But if you're like me, you've had people to disappoint you and you go, Chris, love has failed. And I just want to tell you today that no, love has not failed. People sometimes fail. And I've failed a bunch of people in my life. And I wish I could go back and I could do something about some of them. And some of them maybe I can, some of them maybe I can't. But this morning, I just want to ask that you would understand something that is so important for us. And that is that this is about a love that never, ever, 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 ever fails. Because God's love does not fail us, and He has given it to us for us to put it on others. And that love is a love that never fails. You may be here this morning and you may not understand all of this of what we're talking about, because maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never come to the Lord. I just want you to know that after the service is over today, I'm going to hang out down front here. There'll probably be a couple other guys hanging out with me. I would love to get to talk to you about what it means to know Christ as your Savior. Because I'm telling you what, if you're missing that love, then you've missed the whole thing. Because as much as I love my daughter, God loves me even more. And it's so powerful, I can't put it into words.